Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. For the next 2 hours, you're stuck with me, and we're talking about cars, trucks, motorhomes. I'm really good at settling arguments between husbands and wives and husbands, or brothers and sisters and all that kind of stuff. Sitting next to me is my sister, Renee. Good morning.
No, and most of the time I think you cause arguments. I don't think you settle them all the time.
I'm really good at settling arguments. No, yeah. This is my wife, Renee. She gets to, you're just out on a weekend.
Yes, parole.
Parole, yeah. So I thought I'm supposed to keep track of you this weekend, and I'm unfortunately stuck with you. But nevertheless, let's talk about Kurt's Auto Repair at I-17 and Bell Road, northeast corner. Kurt, Eric, and Jeff are all master technicians. They're really good at what they do. My suggestion to you is if you've got a problem and you live anywhere near I-17 and Bell, Kurt's might be a good place for you to stop by. Kurt's the owner, but the two young guys are younger, and they're sons and son-in-law, but they're just really sharp, and they have absorbed our industry like few others have. So again, oil changes all the way to every time I turn on my car, I hear a voice from my glove box. They can take care of all of that. Kurt's Automotive, and it's I-17 and Bell. All right, 602-508-0960. If you have a question or a call, or if you you want to argue with me, that's fine too. 602-508-0960. Last week, I think we had a pretty good record of calls. I think we had 12 or 13 callers.
I think so, yes.
And I think our record is what?
17. Oh, I think it was 20 one weekend.
It was 20 or 21. So anyway, we're here for two hours. So, again, if you have a question, but let me tell you, if you're kind of a hunter kind of guy, or if you're into four wheel drives and stuff, I want to tell you about an 80 or a 79 Suburban. This 79 Suburban has a 5-speed transmission. They only made, according to sources that I've been talking to, they made less than 100 of these with stick shifts. No one else has ever seen one, but it is an unusual vehicle. What's really unusual, it's got a 5.7 350 tuned port fuel injected motor that Arizona Speed Marine had installed. So this is a fuel injected 79 Suburban with a small block Chevy and a 5-speed manual. We think it's got 133,000 miles on it. We think. In 2019, which is just this year, we upgraded the air conditioning system to 134 and it blows ice cubes. It has four-wheel disc brakes, and that's something they had to have added when they did this motor, because this vehicle didn't come with four-wheel disc brakes. It may have come with front disc brakes, but not back, but it hasn't. It has a 40-gallon main tank, and then he has two saddle tanks, and he has water tanks, and the shocks are new, the tires are new, and it has a winch front and rear. It has on the front is a Ramsey 8,000-pound cable winch, and on the rear is a Warren 6,000-pound, and both of them have remote controls. So the story behind this is that it was built by a guy who owned a giant machine shop near University and 48th Street. This was his hunting wagon. It has a rack on the top of it that extends over the hood. They used to sit on top of the rack and then cover themselves with a camouflage parachute, and they used to watch animals. So this was the hunting wagon, and of course they built everything, and anything unusual or broken, they just make a new one. So that's really the story. This has been parked for more than 20 years. It was serviced, started, and driven May, June, and July, and August of this year.
Or last year now.
Last year, I'm sorry. And it's just kind of a really nifty hunting vehicle. It even has a high-lift jack mounted on the front bumper, so you can tell. Now, these guys didn't just use metal stuff that they found on the side of the road when they welded this. I mean, this is all perfectly done.
It's not pieced together like a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if it has rear air or not.
I don't know either.
I don't know if it does or not. But anyway, it's $8,500, your best offer, if you're a hunter or if you're somebody. Now, we've driven this thing back and forth to West Phoenix. We had Eddie take it home. Mm-hmm. We've driven it back and forth to Payson. So we've driven this thing. It's fun to drive. Now, I'm not quite sure what the gear ratio is, but this isn't going to do 100 miles an hour.
No.
So it's got some pretty low gears in it. And obviously with a 5-speed, they're even lower. But when you put it in low range and you put it in first gear, you can walk faster than this vehicle is going to go down the road. But it's got really low gear, so I'm thinking it's probably got 411 gears or something like that. But anyway, brand new tires. I'm selling it, and the reason is because this kind of honors Jim, who built this Suburban. And nevertheless, if you're a hunter, that's it. You got anything else on your mind today that you want to talk about that's car-related?
No.
You had a new windshield put in your car.
I did, yes.
And actually, we used our insurance company. And
yes.
They said, please use this company. Now, I'm not normally a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, the guy did a great job.
Yeah, he did a great job, and it looks good. And
it's not leaking because we already spread water all over it.
Yeah.
So
it was fast, came to the office. And
did it here in the parking lot and all
did.
That kind of stuff.
It was perfect.
So you just have to be careful. Now, the insurance company we've been doing business with for cars, we've known forever and ever. And so we know that they would guide us right. But I'm still not, you know, real sure. And I think you found out that the windshield market is like the Wild West.
It is. It's crazy. And something that the insurance company asked me, too, because we have glass coverage. We can't get it for our business, but we have it for our personal.
Business cars and trucks.
Business cars and trucks, but this happens to be my personal car. But they also asked me if it was bigger than a dollar bill, if the crack was bigger. So I don't know, you know.
Why they did that.
Maybe you can't get it done or you have to pay a certain amount. I didn't really ask them that, but
yours
mine was quite
about
like
a mile
four
long.
Or $5 bills.
Yeah. Well, it went, I think, from the top to the bottom. It started with a rock kit.
Yes.
And then it kind of just traveled and traveled and traveled.
Yeah, just straight up. But it, you know, so it didn't go across the windshield or anything. But one of the things that kind of impressed me after he called me out and said, you want to come and look at it? And I said, sure. And so I go out there, and they've got a little, like, blower in there, mm-hmm. like making sure all the dust and anything that they got in the car was out. They were blowing my seats off and dashboard and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of a nice
finishing
touch. Yeah.
And of course, those blowers didn't hurt all your vodka bottles inside the car.
Funny.
It didn't roll those out.
No.
And folks, unfortunately, just about every car we have that you and I drive have mm-hmm. broken windshields right
yeah.
now. My truck
yeah.
has a broken windshield. The Camaro has a broken windshield. Your car had a broken windshield. And I don't know if we have any other shop trucks here. But the Camaro, because it's a company car, we don't have glass coverage.
Right.
So I think what we're going to do now is we're going to call around to a couple of the glass companies. I'm going to call some insurance guys that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, who does the glass company you use? But what you and I have decided is we're going to call around
yes.
and see what the Wild West has to offer.
They're expensive.
Yours
was
what, 600?
But that was after the discount for the insurance company. So,
Well, I remember talking to a guy in the windshield business that had been in the windshield business for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if the insurance company's paying for it, the bill gets really big, the labor and the glass.
Okay.
But there's a variety of different qualities of glass.
Okay.
So the safety glass can be made by A, B, C, D, E, F, G companies.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be a difference in fit and finish and
yeah,
optics.
Yeah, sometimes you can see a lot of pits in the glass, like the newer ones that
uh-huh.
aren't from the factory or whatever. I have noticed that before in some over the years that we've had replaced.
Okay.
So.
Well, keep in mind, though, the windshields don't come from the factory. It's just they're bought from Jones
well,
Glass.
When it's new is what
yeah.
I meant. But
yeah.
I don't know who makes it. But
yeah, well, you bought the F car against
uh-huh.
my wishes.
No.
Because we've never owned an F car in the family. For like since
just a motorhome.
Jesus Christ was a baby.
My dad did.
Yeah, your dad did. God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
He hit his head early in our life.
Oh,
and
I
that's
see.
When he started buying F cars.
Okay.
But he did have lots of Fords.
Yeah.
And
he liked
him
those
and I
better.
Always left that subject alone.
Mm-hmm.
We just never ever talked about that.
Because you weren't going to change his mind.
No, and he couldn't beat me either. He couldn't outrun me. He couldn't outpull me. He couldn't do any of that.
I think that was kind of before we had all the high-performance stuff and everything.
No, even back then we had that Suburban that we had the 454 with a blower in it and a winch on the front of it mm. and stuff like that. That was considerably different than his 3/4-ton four-wheel drive with a, you know, small V8 in it and
yeah.
stuff like that. So, Anyway, we have a caller. You can hear that air gun.
I can.
That's Gil telling us we have a caller. Gil, what would that caller's name be?
That would be Tom.
Tom, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning. I have a 2010 Ford Explorer, and it's got the power steering whine. What is the best way to fix that, if there is? Can you do it just by flushing fluids, or is it replacing the pump, or
okay,
what would that be? It's got 110,000 miles on it.
Okay, so tell me what the symptoms are. Is it leaking fluid?
No, it's just got the whine of the power steering pump. It's making noises.
Okay.
Just a loud pump.
Okay, and so when it's in the neutral position, you don't hear it much, but then when you turn left and right, yeah, back and forth.
Nope, you hear it all the time.
Okay.
All the time, because the pump's running all the time, so you hear it all the time. Like, if you let up on the accelerator, you'll hear it slow down on the noise, and then when you step back on the accelerator, you'll hear that noise come back again, but it's always there.
Okay. And you check the fluid level, of course, right? And it's full,
yep.
Or it's on the dipstick or whatever?
Yep. But it is a very dark brownish red.
Okay. I doubt very seriously that a flush would work, but certainly you're going to need to do a flush one way or the other. So if you're going to do a flush, you have to pull the low pressure line and you aim it. You have your wife hold it aimed at a 5-gallon bucket. You have to put a plug on the low pressure outlet of the pump because you're going to be pouring fluid into it, and you have to plug the outlet so that it doesn't end up all over the ground. And your low pressure line from the pump is 3 feet long, 3/8 fuel line with a clamp on it. There's no real big pressure, but there's volume out of that. Then you put a long neck funnel in the top of the power steering pump. It takes 3 people. Then you're going to have somebody start it and slowly turn the steering wheel to the right lock position and then to the left lock. You're going to be standing there putting fluid in it, not overflowing the pump. And your wife's going to be standing there holding the hose inside a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah.
People wonder
you're going to need two friends.
It's expensive.
But here's the deal.
Yeah.
99 times out of 100, people don't understand you have to put a plug in the bottom of the pump. So they pour a cord in and they end up with a cord on the ground. And then they they run the pump dry, which is the worst thing that you want to do. I don't care about the mileage. Let me change your question. How many power steering in a domestic car? How many power steering pumps do you do a day? And the answer is for a whine, maybe 4 a year, 5 a year. And typically that comes in with a high pressure pump line that's bad, and they've been feeding the fluid, and they wait till the pump whines, and then they add fluid to it. And so that's kind of, if they'd have done the high pressure line at the beginning, we probably wouldn't have had the whine. But it sounds, you can flush it. But here's the good news. If you still have the whine after you flushed it, you're home free. Put a pump on it, put some clean fluid in it, and you're done.
Right. Because you've already flushed everything out. You've got to get rid of the old fluid out of there.
One way or the other, whether you put a pump on it or not. So that's what I'd do.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling. So I'm going to put power steering whine.
Do we usually hear it all the time, though, on a power steering whine?
Well, that's why I ask him.
Yeah, that was kind of confusing, because usually it does it mostly when you're turning.
And you're right. Technically speaking, Mrs. Salem,
okay,
when you load it, it typically whines.
Correct.
But that's why I ask him that. Mm-hmm. If it's in the unloaded position, I didn't use those words, but if you're not turning it, I want to know if it stops. Mm-hmm. So I want to know if it's loaded. He answered my question all the time.
Right.
The pump is bad.
Okay.
And so, because he has the noise. Now, if it doesn't make noise when your hands are off the steering wheel, normally it's low on fluid.
Right.
And so when you load it up, we start aerating the fluid. And so when you look inside the reservoir, the foam or the red fluid or brown fluid is foamy because we're sucking air.
Okay.
So there's all of those kinds of things. We're going to take a break. If you'd like to call us, 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. When we talk about ASE Master Technicians, let me explain what that means. You have a master's degree in auto repair. That's the highest level you can achieve. Now, you can be certified in one of the eight automotive. There's eight categories of repairs in the automotive and truck industry. So if you're just in steering and suspension, then you're ASE certified in steering and suspension. But if you passed all eight tests, then you are a master. I wanted to make that distinction clear because it is the highest level of testing. There is no higher. So there's no PhD in auto repair.
No, there's an L1.
One, that's an advanced performance.
Right.
So there's really eight plus the L1, and I think there might even be an L2. But Larry Harker's Auto has got a young man named Jeremy who's passed every single test on buses and big trucks and passenger cars and light duty trucks and diesels and all that.
That's
he's
amazing.
One of four in the world. Or no, in the United States, I should say.
Okay.
So anyway, Larry Harker, Bob and Ellen run Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Really a good shop. And again, if you've got a problem where nobody else can fix it, and you live anywhere near 38th Avenue and Indian School, they've been around since 1967, may I suggest Larry Harker's Auto. Suzanne, you're up first.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
My question concerns the switch that turns on your headlights and turn signals.
Okay.
I had it replaced a few months ago, and as soon as it was replaced, I noticed that it gets hot when the headlights are on, not when they're off. And there's a flicker, like on the odometer. If you do the turn signals, the flicker is more distinct. I went back to the mechanic, and they said that that's normal. But I've never, ever in my 40-some years of driving had a car that feels hot when you turn on the headlights.
You need to find a new shop. Because you've just raised my blood pressure a bunch. That is the worst our industry has to offer. So let me take your side on this. Let me get this straight. You gave my wife a problem, and now all of a sudden it's normal. Now keep in mind, Mr. Mechanic, we never had this problem before. And she's been driving this car for how many miles? How many miles do you have on it?
It has 131,000 now.
Okay. Five times.
But I haven't had it all that long.
That's okay. It's been. Nevertheless, you know what hot is. You know what the intensity of the dash and stuff is. That's a problem for him. So he's already told you what he's all about. So my suggestion would be is either stop by or call him and say, you know what? I understand you said this is normal, but I want to tell you again. This is a problem you gave me. You gave me this problem. I never had this problem. So I'm just putting you on notice that I'm going to take it somewhere else, and when I get it fixed, then I'm going to bring you the bill. And just put him on notice. You don't really care what he says. Just put him on notice. Just make a log of that. Then you go back, and he says no. Then you write a nice complaint, or you go on Yelp and flame him, or you do whatever. But the idea is this is not the way it's supposed to be. And you were probably very nice to him. And did you talk
to
the owner?
Well, I had gone to them before that. You actually referred me to them. I won't name the shop.
Okay.
And I went to them before, and I was really ecstatically happy. But this time I paid $270 for something that did fix the headlight problem but then gave me this other problem.
Okay. And it doesn't make any difference if it's one I refer people to. Let me ask you this question. Did you talk to the owner, or did you talk to a service writer or something like that?
The owners.
Okay. Well, that disappoints me a lot. Why don't you email me the shop's name, please?
Okay.
Mark.
And what shops? I'll write that down. Mark.
At marksalem.com. Mark at marksalem.com.
Marksalem.com. Okay. And what shops do you have closer to where I'm staying now? I was in Phoenix, and I'm temporarily staying in Scottsdale near Raintree and 90th Street, and I don't know where anything is here.
Okay. Blackwell Automotive, 40th and Greenway, just north. I don't have anybody northeast more than that. So but I still want you to call him and put him on notice. And because he may very well change his mind and say, hey, I need to take another look at that. Do you have the old switch by chance?
No, they kept that. The old switch was bad because the headlights would turn themselves on and drain the battery down, and it had play in it. So I knew the switch was bad. It wouldn't turn the lights off.
All right, I understand.
So they did that right, but
okay, I understand. But if you had the old switch, you see, if I were the arbitrator on this, I'd look at the old switch and I'd see that this particular portion hasn't been hot, and I look at the new switch and I'd look at this particular portion has been hot. I'd look at the old switch and find out that it has pink, yellow, and blue wires, and I look at the new switch and those wires have changed colors. So the question then becomes, when you hook yellow to yellow, that's easy, but if you took yellow to pink, then I guess what's going on? I'm telling you, I've been in this business a long time. My guys have made this same mistake. And I'm disappointed. I'd be disappointed in the staff if they didn't say, let's take another look at it. But whoever did the work probably knows what happened. So,
yeah, well, they were willing to do diagnostics, but then I'd have to pay for diagnostics if they didn't find anything wrong. And they thought that was normal. So that kind of made me concerned.
Well, and I think what you said was, is that you have a flicker that you didn't have before.
2 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. I need you to stand firm under those conditions. But one more time, sir. This is a problem you gave me. Why would I have you diagnose a problem you gave me? With all due respect. So perhaps maybe let's both take 24 hours to cool off. And why don't you, here's a copy of my work order. Why don't you give me a call? I mean, you're giving him every chance in the world. So, okay. Well, I'm sorry that you had this problem, and I'll do my best to help you with it.
Thank you for your help.
Oh, you're
welcome. Have a great day.
And thank you, Suzanne. Harry, good morning.
Morning. How are you, Mark?
I'm not, well.
That piqued my interest when you were talking about windshields. I just am going through a deal with the insurance company on a windshield, and I have a Honda Pilot, and I was specifying so I like the Honda, you know, windshield, like what I add in, and I'll put back in.
1 minute.
Well, at the insurance level, the guy I contacted initially, they said, oh, yeah, no problem. Well, at the very end, they say, well, if it exceeds a certain amount, then you'll be responsible for paying for it. And I says, wow, you didn't say this at the beginning. What's going on? So they evidently have a third-party company that does their, I guess, all their judgment and whatever on what is good and what isn't. And come to find out, after about an hour and a half of getting run around yesterday, they said that if your vehicle is within its first year, new vehicle, they'll go ahead and put the factory one in. But if it's past that, they won't.
Okay, I got a break in 6 seconds. So we'll stay there, and we'll finish this up. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark Salem with my wife, Renee, here sitting next to me. We're talking about windshields with Harry.
Okay.
So let me turn your mic back on, too.
You're always trying to shut me up,
yep,
aren't you?
I am. Harry, I have to check this, but in reality, I don't believe that there's a Honda windshield out there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I understand that, but like I told him, I says, I have a Honda. I probably pay a little more for it than maybe another vehicle for my premiums. And here you are, you know. And they says, well, they said the same thing. Well, the only difference is there's a little Honda label etched in the glass on the left-hand corner. And I says, well, my experience in the past has been some of these windshields you get, they're supposed to be, you know, exactly the same. The tint's different. They're different, and, you know.
Yeah,
I've had some issues, and I've seen some issues, and like Renee said, sometimes the texture on the outside is not very very good.
Well, it's optics. So I'm not sticking up for them, but I think the idea that I want a Honda windshield. And then your glass company or your insurance company calls you back and says, oh, you're in the first year, blah, blah, blah. I think all of that's BS.
Well, that took me about two times of calling them to get that out of them. And I talked to four different people. They gave me the runaround deal. And
Harry, that should have been your first clue.
I mean,
call to the same, and you get the same different story from everybody. You're in a vicious circle.
I know.
So, why don't you just have the one you put in and hand them the bill, and tell them I've talked to four.
Yeah. It's three times the cost of what they're willing to pay.
Okay.
$900 for a factory one, and $300 for the other one.
Okay, so have them put the $300 in if you find it optically wrong. I mean,
right.
You're going to be able to sit in the driver's seat and see if there's optically wrong as you look around. And you can be there when they're installing it, and once they take the old one out, you just have them set it over the top of your of the new one and make sure that all the corners match up and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, you can fight with them if you want. I'm going to tell you that most of the insurance company, most that I work for, and I pick and choose which ones I work for, have really good people working for them. But I'm also going to tell you that the windshield market's the Wild West. You can call on one car, and if you kept calling, you called five or six different glass companies, the range is unbelievable. And some of them will quote the windshield only, but then all of a sudden you get there and there's another, you know, 2 or 3 hours worth of installation. Oh, and we have to use a special silicone or a special adhesive. Oh, and it needs moldings around the outside because we're going to tear up the moldings when we take it all apart. All those kinds of questions. So I don't have an answer for you, but I think you ought to change your insurance companies because we certainly didn't have that problem.
Yeah.
And we knew that if, in our case, and in everybody's case, if you have a good relationship with them and you don't like that, then they'll make it right. Especially because I don't know how many claims we've had, but virtually none.
Yeah.
So, but the one we're dealing with Farm Bureau, and that's because they insure our horses and our barns and all that other kind of stuff. But they do all kinds of places. So I'll put a plug in. But I want to tell you something. There's four companies that I like. I like Farm Bureau, Liberty Mutual, USAA, and Geico.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one, and I can never remember what it is,
okay.
But there's five of them.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But anyway,
either.
Those are the ones that the tie goes to the runner. Those are the ones that seem to have the most customer focus.
Oriented.
Yeah. So I don't know what to tell you. I would call a couple of the dealerships that do Hondas and get them to quote it. And then perhaps that would be a call back that says, hey, I'm going to go to Honda. I expect you to pay the bill. I'm going to have them put the windshield in and blah, blah, blah. But don't be surprised if you get there and then you see a guy drive up that says ABC Glass and he puts your windshield in and he doesn't have a Honda shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, like I said, it's the Wild West. You just have to take care of yourself. But anyway, good luck to you, Harry. Good luck to you. Elmer, what can I do for you this morning?
Mark, how are you doing this morning?
You know, I've been better, but I'm north of the dirt, so I'm pretty happy about that.
You know, my wife and I were driving down the road the other day in my motorhome. I got a 1970 Winnebago,
okay.
And a guy pulled up beside me, and he had brown stuff all over the windshield. We pulled over and asked the guy, why had this brown stuff all over the windshield? And he says, well, it's coming off the top of your motorhome. Now, this was right after I turned around and filled up the tank, and so I was trying to figure the thing out, so I had my wife run back into the bathroom, and she, you know, flushed the toilet in the bathroom, and now she came out with all this color all over. Now, what I want to know is, do you have a place where I can come stay, because she doesn't want me to live in the motorhome anymore. Can you imagine such a thing?
Who is this?
Yeah, really. No, this is not
Tom,
Elmer.
I think.
Is Elmer Fudd.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. This is someone.
Oh, you had us listening for quite a while, and then when the brown stuff came out, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
You think this is Blackwell?
It sounds just
Blackwell.
Like him.
Oh. Now we have to tell the story.
No, you told it on the air a couple weeks ago.
People that didn't hear it are going, he's got brown stuff all over the windshield of the car behind
goodness.
Him, and he's got people, and she's got brown stuff all over. First of all, let's take care of business like we ought to. Hey, Gil.
Yes.
Dump him. He gets no more talk. Okay.
Oh,
the story is quick. We've been motorhoming since 1978.
Yes.
And there's lots of old guys that are older than I am that have really great ideas, and some of them don't. So the guy says to me, Mark, he says, you know, your black water tank just has the toilet, and the gray water tank has the sinks and all the kinds. He says, now, you're going to have a buildup of sludge. So before you dump your black water tank, you always dump it first because the gray water's cleaner. It's soapier. So he says, just buy a couple of bags of ice, dump them in the toilet, and then drive home.
Okay.
And he says that ice will go around and clean everything up and it'll be perfect. And he said, and you might just take a squirt of dishwasher liquid and put it in the toilet. So I think if two or three bags is good, then 10's better. I think if of a Joy liquid is that good, mine's
a whole jar. Yeah.
A jar. Mm-hmm. So I'm driving down the road, and keep in mind that the tanks have to be vented. So there's a vent that comes off the roof of the motorhome. So we're driving down the road, and people are honking at us and stuff. And unbeknownst to me, I've put way too much soap in there. So now the tank is full of suds. The suds are brown. They're coming out of the top of the pipe, and it's all over the back of the motorhome. And people don't really understand the contamination I'm spreading. This was a long time ago.
Very good.
And so that's what we were talking about, is some of the motorhome calamities that
yes.
we've had. So if you're going to put – and by the way, our tank was clean. But,
yeah.
But in reality, two bags, three bags of soap is fine. That's all the Joy liquid you put in there. Mm-hmm. You don't put in half the bottle. And as you drive around, you don't have to swerve left and right or anything, because as you stop and go – and then when you dump your Blackwater tank – the next time you'll find out that it's not nearly as yucky as it was before.
Okay.
So, and
I'm glad that's not my job.
I'm not gonna talk to Elmer. Now, when we get back, we're gonna talk about the times that you hook the hose up to the Blackwater tank and you stick it in the sewer connection and you forget to latch it.
Oh.
And I remember somebody walking into the motorhome with shoes that were wet because she didn't latch the hose. But we'll talk about that when we come back.
My part-time.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And if you'd like to call in, 602-508-0960, we're going to make sure you give us your real name and you're not going to be able to use some Elmer Fudd name.
We're not going to take anything about brown stuff on the windshield.
Yeah, so. And not only that, here's the deal. Tom Blackwell owns Blackwell Automotive at 40th and Greenway.
Right.
He will personally clean the Blackwater tank out of your motorhome using a tried and true process.
Okay.
And he'll do it for free. So if you have a Blackwater tank that you think might be a little dirty on your motorhome, go to Blackwell's, 40th and Greenway, and Tom will personally flush your Blackwater tank.
He does other work, too. But
yeah. Action Auto Repairs at I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom is a guy that I've known since 1983. I like him. He's exactly the kind of young man that you hope your daughter brings home. It's a family-owned auto repair shop that served Deer Valley and North Phoenix area, like I said, since 1983. He has ASC Master Certified Technicians. He knows right from wrong. He knows that his technicians know that he knows right from wrong. So it's not like the inmates are running the asylum like they are at Blackwell's. So Action Auto Repairs, I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner. And let's go to 602-508-0960. Steve, you're first.
Yeah, two more quick issues about windshields, not to beat it to death. But
okay.
I was getting an insurance quote. And they had told me, the company, they said, well, you have a claim. And I said, well, I had no tickets or accidents. And they consider a windshield replacement claim. So that affected my rate when I went to switch. So that's something you might want to think of or keep in mind. Or ask the company, ask your insurance when you call them how they treat that. And the second one is, as far as optics, I've been at a stoplight, and I'll look at the car next to me. And boy, you can flat tell that they've had that their windshield been replaced. So if and when the guy does show up to replace your windshield, just kind of look at it from an angle, just to make sure that if it's acceptable. If not, you can tell him, hey, this is kind of wickety whacked, and possibly try another one.
You're right. I think I'm with you though. I'm struggling with this idea of a claim, because a windshield ding or dent or crack has nothing to do with your negligence. I mean, there's no way
we're all just numbers in their big algorithm of making money and adjusting rates. So.
And I intend, I'm going to make a note of this, and I'm going to ask the insurance companies I work for, and I'm going to, if they say yes, a windshield's a claim, then I'm going to explain, I think that's wrong, and here's why. As far as the optics concerned, you hit the nail on the head. from inside the car and outside the car, the angle is what's important. So from the driver's side, you look at the passenger's half of the windshield. Then you get in the passenger seat and you look at the driver's half of the windshield. This won't be the last windshield call we have this hour.
No, probably not.
But thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All righty. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If you have a question or a comment about windshields, we'll take that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough in our industry when you start dealing with insurance companies and claims. Some insurance companies pretend like they have the authority to send you to their approved repair shops. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was I am a mechanical shop.
Mm-hmm.
And if this was the environment we lived in, I would make concessions to them and they would reciprocate to us. So if I used a really cheap coolant in your cooling system, mm-hmm. they'd like that better than if I used the really expensive stuff that your car came with.
Right.
So, and I'm not saying that's the way it is across the board, but that's the Wild West that we live in. There's insurance companies that sell you aftermarket warranties,
mm-hmm.
but they don't tell you that they're going to dictate the price of the part and the price of my labor, and they're not. I'm going to go buy a book that they don't go, and I'm going to go buy list price, and they want me to sell it at cost or cost plus 10%. So there's a real problem in that arena. Then they're going to say, oh, it's only a 3.1 hours, and I'm going to say, no, it isn't. It's 4.6 hours. And then they're going to say, what manual are you using? And I said, no, you tell me what manual you use because I have access to all of them, and I want to verify your number. Mm-hmm. So if you use the Action manual, then I can access that. And then they don't cover shop supplies, environmental charges, sales tax, and any ancillary repairs they don't cover. So if you do a radiator and you put a cap on it, the customer pays for the cap. Even though maybe the cap caused the radiator to blow out, which doesn't happen very often. That's just a weak example of what I'm talking about.
And most of the time it's that they the labor might be the same time, but it's that they want to pay substandard labor fees that nobody charges anymore.
And they'll say that, well, the average in your area, we're at $1 or $125. They'll say, this is just an example. The average in your area is 103.
Yeah.
And folks, we have people, ASU students, that do surveys for us.
Yeah.
I think in our general area, the average labor rate is just right underneath 125 an hour.
And we pick
the middle. Mm-hmm. Now there's some very expensive dealerships that are up
140, 150.
That are up there in the top end, but that's all they work on.
Mm-hmm.
And so those of us in general repair, I think for me, we mm-hmm. want to be in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be between the high and the low.
Right.
That's kind of where we want to be.
Yeah.
So, and then one other thing. Okay. If a customer comes in and says, "Well, last time I came in here you were at 120 and now you're at 125."
Mm-hmm.
We fix that.
Yeah.
Because we say to them, we're going to give you one time to back us up $5.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you're only going to have 1 hour, so you're going to win $5. But why don't you wait for the big one that's 4 hours worth of heater core?
Yeah. Or, but even still, that's $20. You know, sometimes they don't realize that it's a small amount. But
you're exactly right. But you're giving them the option to use it on the big dog repair
rather
instead of the small dog. Sure. Okay, we've got a caller. Who might that be?
That would be Tom.
Tom, good morning.
Morning, Mark. I've got a 2010 Toyota Tacoma. It's got 146,000 miles on it. I've got a thing going on that at about 30, 35 miles an hour, it's like I'm going over a rough road.
Okay.
It lasts for about 50 yards or something. Sometimes it goes longer.
Would it be properly called a vibration, or would it properly be called the ride? I mean, is it a vibration that shakes the whole car, or is it the ride?
Yeah, it's the ride, but you can feel it. It's like going over a bumpy road, and sometimes it gets worse. I mean, it shakes it pretty good. Somebody told me that it might be a torque converter. It's something in the transmission. I've already gone to Discount Tire and I checked the tires.
Okay.
And they said there's nothing going on with the tires.
Okay. First of all, if you want to go put a torque converter in, because this guy guessed, I would say that's probably the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And I can tell you right now, a torque converter does not have those symptoms or anywhere close to those symptoms. And if you called me and said, I want to know if my converter's bad, I would tell you, drive down the road, get it to happen, and then gently apply the brake pedal with your left foot. When you apply the brakes and the brake lights come on, the computer disables the torque converter. And if it's a torque converter, your problem's going to go away. So that's kind of easy to determine. In your particular case, let me ask you more questions. I'm not interested in what everybody told you. Does the steering wheel shake when this happens?
Not really, no.
Okay. Does the seat of your pants shake when this happens?
I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. That's okay.
I never figured that one out.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, there's method to my madness. And it's okay. Don't know is an accept. You know what? Men don't ever say, I don't know. Women say that all the time.
Well, I think he just did.
He did. So. Yeah, congratulations. Okay, how about the rear view mirror? Did you look in the rear view mirror and see that it vibrated or anything?
I mean, I didn't notice that. It's just, I wouldn't doubt if it does. I mean, because it's a pretty good shake, and I feel like you're going over a dirt road, you know.
I understand. I understand. Does it change with speed? Let me just ask questions, and I think I can do better. Does it change if you go 40 and it happens? What happens if you go 50 or 60?
Doesn't happen, but it happens at about 30 and 35.
Okay.
That's where it happened.
Okay. What part of town do you live in?
I'm in Rio Verde.
Way north. Way, way north.
Yeah.
Are you on the east side of the 51 or the west side of the 51?
On the east side of the 51. I'm way out. I'm way west. I'm just north of Fountain Hills.
Okay. All right. I don't know anybody in your area at all. Blackwell would be closest one, 40th and Greenway. This is something we're going to have to drive. This is something I feel confident that Tom can drive this and tell you what it is. Here's why I ask you. If the steering wheel shakes but the seat of your pant doesn't, the problem's in the front end. If the seat of your pant shakes and the steering wheel doesn't shake, then the problem's in the back end. I ask you about the rear-view mirror. The rear-view mirror often will shake no matter whether it's in the front or the back. Then I ask you if it's speed related. I'm thinking that I need the rotating tires. And you say, no, it is 30 to 35, but not a higher or lower. So it's not tires. Then you said you went to discount. I believe them. They're tire experts. So I'm going to throw tires all the way out. But I'll tell you how you might be able to help yourself. Do you have a wife?
Yes, I do.
Does she have another car?
Yes.
Okay. This is what I would do if I were you. Tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, I know you're going to church, but before you go to church, then you say, follow me, honey, and you go make it happen on some three-lane road. Your wife drives around the right side of you, and she just looks at the tires and wheels. Then she drives around the left side of you while you're doing your 35 to 45 miles an hour. The question is what does she see? Now, if this is something that's... If this is a suspension issue, she'll see it. Guaranteed she'll see it. If you do that now, if you walk into the shop and say 30 to 45 miles an hour, and my wife says that left rear is shaking like the Dickens and the other three aren't, you just saved yourself half an hour's worth of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
good.
And what was that thing again about the torque converter you said if I put my left hand on the left foot on the brake pedal?
Gently. Just gently touch. When you're going down the road above 45 miles an hour, you can do it on the freeway.
Okay. So when it's doing it, do you want to
have... Yeah, he can do
that. So he said between 30 and 35, and then put the brake pedal on?
Yeah, he's going to... If that's the range, 30 to 35, Sunday morning, he's driving down the road. Now, at 30 to 35, I'm not quite sure the torque converter's even locked up.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. Usually the torque converter is going to lock 40 to 50.
Okay.
I don't know if it's locked up. But here's the deal. On your shifter, you have a drive and an overdrive. Probably, yes, on your shifter.
Yep.
Okay, put it in drive. Yep. Take it out of overdrive. So just put it in drive. That way we're eliminating that one-to-one ratio. So, and then you might do this. I don't want you doing 35 to 45 miles an hour in low gear. But in second, it wouldn't be any problem. and third it wouldn't be any problem, and drive won't be any problem. Okay. So do that and start at the beginning, start first and see what happens. Go to second and stop and start again and see if that's related. I'm trying to save you some diagnostic money. That's what I'm really trying to do. Okay, thank you very much, Tom. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The only shop in Mesa that I've got that I can send you to is Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Thompson's has been around since 1970, but Brian Thompson and his wife,
Thelma,
who comes from the Thompson family, so you got the Vivian and the Thompson, those guys have been in Mesa since God first had put steel or wood, rock tires on cars. Their family has tremendous background in the auto repair industry. So these young men and women are running this operation, and we're very proud of them. Mm-hmm. They know right from wrong. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. They've been around a very long time, and there's been times where they fixed cars, because I've sent people to them that live in Mesa, and they fixed cars, and they were the heroes. Mm-hmm. So they've done a good job. So if you're in Mesa, I'm sorry, I'd like to have more. But Thompson's Auto Repair on Main Street in Stapley is the only one that can really pass the muster, so to speak.
That's right. Everybody's going to love you today. You're calling everybody young. Action Tom at Action and Brian and Vivian.
Well, Brian and Thelma are a lot younger than we are. Yeah. I mean, you're 80, I'm 50.
That's right.
And
I forgot. I only feel 50, but whatever.
I know. They know I'm kidding you. But Brian and Thelma are younger, considerably younger. And Tom is younger than we are, too, even if he's 5 or 8, 10 years, whatever. Okay, thank you for bringing that up.
No, I said they're going to love you for calling them young.
Here's the deal. Mark will be back for the next hour, but someone that won't be back for the next hour. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. I'm sure you can grab one of the five.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Auto Dynamics is in Sun City. Chuck and I have been friends since 1968. He owned a gas station I used to work at. Chuck has now got Derek running Auto Dynamics in Sun City. Like I said, they've been around for a very long time. They do good work, and Derek is a really good kid. I call him a kid. He's a husband and he's got a family, but to me, he's a kid.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's decided that his staff and mechanics won't be paid a commission or a percentage of your repair bill, and that ensures that they won't sell unnecessary parts or repairs to you. That's an unusual focus, and we're all sitting back to see how that works out. But anyway, if you're in Sun City, the best shop in Sun City, as far as I'm concerned, is Auto Dynamics, the north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. Robert, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a 2013 Kia Soul, and I would like to put a backup camera on it. And I was reading on the Internet there's wired systems and wireless systems. Which one is best?
I think it's easier to diagnose the wireless systems. I think they're going to be a lot less money, and they're going to be a whole lot less installation. I think what's more important than anything else, Robert, if I were you, is I'd get the biggest screen I could get. So if the screen on your backup camera, the one you're looking at, is the size of a cigarette pack, I would think you want something as big as the new Apple phone or something like that, something that's kind of big. Now, you're right. You're probably going to plug the screen into the cigarette lighter or something like that. I'm guessing now. And as far as the backup camera in the back, it's going to be wireless, and I think you'll have batteries in it. But I can tell you that we've had customers with those, and they've been happy. I think we've installed a couple of those, but I'm just using a global kind of a viewpoint because I don't really know what you're going to end up with. But the bigger screen is the better. And the wireless ones work really, really well.
How about the wireless on the rear view mirror?
there's nothing wrong with that. Don't you have to change the rearview mirror as well because it has like a television screen on the far right?
Well, I'm not that far into it.
Okay.
I just see the ads on the internet for they have the clip-on or something screens that go over the
okay
the rearview mirror.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Your eyes are typically at the rearview mirror when you're backing up, so they're going to allow the screen to clip onto your rearview mirror so your eyes can move up or down. So if you want to look at your mirror, you look up, and just another inch or two down below that, there's going to be another screen that's from your backup camera. That's kind of nice because your head's not swiveling back and forth. So if you've got the screen in the center of the dash for the backup camera and you're looking at the rearview mirror, that just creates a perception problem. So I'm going to vote that the one that clips onto your rearview mirror might be the very best thing. Okay?
Why do they offer 70-foot, 200-foot, and all that? What doesn't it transmit in certain areas?
Well, you mean the advertising for the wireless systems say that they can be 30, 40, 50, 60 feet apart?
Yeah.
Okay, well, a motorhome, a 40-foot motorhome, would take advantage
of
that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and something else, too. You can put it on your truck window or your truck rearview mirror, and you can have a truck that's 20 feet long. Then you can have a trailer behind it that's 35 feet long. So you might want to put the backup camera at the back of your trailer so when your wife's riding on the rear bumper, she can tell you when to stop.
So we wouldn't have to do that then.
No. Nice. Do you have a name of any? Who does this stuff?
Oh, that's easy. What part of town do you live
mirrors.
In? Okay. What part of town are you in?
Near Pima and Camelback.
Okay. I'd probably come south and go to Bell Automotive at the 101 in McDowell West on the north side of the road. Craig and Vicki Bell run Bell, B-E-L-L, Automotive. And on a 1 to 10 scale, this for Craig is going to be a 1 to install this.
Okay.
Be no problem at all. Okay?
All right.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you much.
Thank you very much. That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
There is lots of car stuff out there that can enhance your car. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I saw on TV the other day was the Ford, you push a button and it backs your boat down the ramp.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah,
I could do that.
You and I have been to the lake so many times in our life with our kids and stuff, and we've seen people for the first time kind of back their boat, and even though there's the dock is three, the ramp is three lanes wide, they'll take up all three.
Right. That's the way I'd be, because I do not back well.
Well, you know who backs well is Alan's wife, Heather, our son.
Yeah, she does.
She is unbelievable good.
I know.
But it's a matter of you turn the steering wheel opposite the way you want the back end of the trailer to go.
Yeah.
But this Ford thing is you push a button or something like that, and then it automatically backs you up in a straight line.
See, that's a good thing about a Ford.
Okay, let's pretend. The truck is pointing at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
The trailer's at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And how does it know which one of those three lanes you want to back that trailer in?
I don't have to worry about that. They must have it figured out. And the other thing lately that we've heard about is those trucks that can see through the trailer, or somehow something sees through the trailer
to
back it up.
They have so many cameras that look through the trailer.
How does that happen? I mean, you'd have to put some, it seems like, some type of not a remote control, but like what he was talking about, wireless camera on the back of the trailer. I don't know. I don't get it.
You know, I am the car guy, but I don't appreciate it that you ask me questions and embarrass me like this, because I don't know the answer to that.
I know.
I don't know the answer, and it's new technology.
It is.
And it doesn't make me get into a lather. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. But now that you've opened the door, someone will call 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960.
Maybe they have one.
And maybe they have one. And so the question is when you're driving down the road and the trailer behind you is 12 feet tall and 8 feet wide, how the heck can you see what's behind the trailer?
Exactly. I don't get that.
But I can tell you this much.
Okay.
Most of the time, in my opinion,
okay,
what they say on television is slightly different than the truth.
Okay.
Just slightly different. They kind of, and they have all these media people that spend their whole life writing this.
Right.
to just walk on the edge.
It looked like you can see right through the trailer.
Yeah.
How can that be?
I don't know. Maybe they have a medical X-ray machine
on
the
rear tailgate.
Would you
look into that for me?
No, I won't,
because
I don't care. Do you, which truck has it?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I can't even remember. I just remember
being
amazed by that.
I think it's a Dodge. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
Anyway, I think people, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You know how many times I almost give my cell phone number?
Yeah, I've heard you start before.
Oh, man, I tell you what. As you know, that is the biggest secret I have in my life.
Right.
And even the people that have it still call me after car questions.
Of course.
The other day, Joe called me and he says, hey, my neighbor's sitting here and he has a question. And I wanted to use bad, but I know he had on speakerphone.
Sure.
But I was going to use lots of bad words.
Or they call you to make an appointment or something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So anyway. What was I going to talk about?
How you sometimes go to give your cell phone out when you give out the phone number for
the radio
show.
But before that.
Okay.
It's people want to know what we drive.
Okay.
You drive a Ford.
Yes.
To my tremendous heartburn.
Dismay.
Alan drives a Dodge, but he also has a Dodge Caravan.
Yes.
Right? And then we have a Dodge Caravan for our shuttle service.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Ford diesel truck that we resurrected from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our shop trucks. We have a Chevrolet with 200 or 300,000 miles on it.
Yes.
A little S10 truck for our parts department.
Mm-hmm.
We have some Chevrolets. We have a Corvette and a Camaro. These are high-performance cars that we built for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The Corvette's a twin-turbo LS6 motor. It's a 2006 LS6.
Well, you actually built it for somebody else, and then you decided you really needed it when it was too scary fast for him.
That's exactly right. We built it for Ray, and then he says it's too scary fast, and we bought it back from him. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't need to tell everybody that. Then the Camaro, we bought a bunch of 2010s, and we put blowers on all of them. When we got down to the last two, do you remember what color were the last two?
Well, yes, I do.
Yellow and black and orange and black. That's what I think.
Oh, yes. I thought you were saying black, but...
No, and then we let you and the other girl in our family, Andy, decide which one to keep. And I think you guys picked the orange and black one. But anyway, it has a blower. Now, both those cars, one's a 2006, one's a 2010, and they both have about 30,000 miles on them. So it's not like we drive the wheels off of them.
No.
But they are fun cars to drive. So what other cars, other than your Ford, and that Ford diesel that we bought with the motor that laid all over the highway, those are really the only two Fords we have. But we have two Chrysler vans. We really like the Chrysler minivans.
Mm-hmm.
Alan drives a Dodge. I drive a Dodge. Andy drives an Explorer.
An F car, yes.
He has an F car. And her husband drives a Dodge.
That's right.
So those are the cars that we own, and I
kind of like.
Yeah, I wear a Yogi Bear mask when I drive Renee's Ford. I don't want anybody to know I'm driving her Ford.
You
I have
like
a Yogi Bear mask
lie.
With my glasses on the outside.
Yeah,
I'm just drawing a picture. Okay, just drawing a picture.
Okay.
But anyway, people do ask a lot of times, and I like, and I think that's an important thing. People, I wish people would say, what kind of oil do you put in your car?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of tires do you have on your car? What kind? Do you love your wife? You hear me say this all the time.
Yeah.
You love your wife. What kind of tires did you put on her car? So if I put, Toyo premiums on my truck and I put rag tires made in Singapore on your car, then they get the message.
And, that just brings up a good point about the oil. It's like people call to make an appointment for an oil change, and they say, I need synthetic, and they've got a 2006 Mazda. They've been sold on this idea that they need to put synthetic in it, I think, and I don't know. That just kind of bothers me.
What bothers me more than that is that not too long ago, there was somebody who I know and I don't respect, wrote on some public forum that you bring your car in, we're going to use the very best synthetic oil they make.
Right.
They're all the same. And we're going to have you come back every 5,000 miles so that we can check out your car and we'll give you a free inspection.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time you bring it in for an oil change at 5,000 miles, then, we're going to use synthetics because that's the best. That wads up my underwear something fierce. Here's why, folks, real quick. There's three kinds of oil on the market today. There's conventional, which is the old-fashioned Fred Flintstone oil that really took from 2000, 2005 and backwards, maybe even 2010 and backwards, conventional oil was the 3,000 mile oil change. Today we know conventional will go 3 to 5. You don't want to take it past 5,000 miles. So 3 to 5. Then you got semi-synthetic, which is called blend. Now no one knows if it's a 90-10 or a 50-50. They don't tell you. But the synthetic blend is half conventional, approximately, and half synthetic. That's from 7,500 to maybe, I don't know. When it's 3 to 5,
yeah.
And then 5 to 7,500.
There you go.
That's it. Then synthetic is from 7,500 to 10,000 or 12,000, depends on if you drive a Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercedes doesn't even make their own oil anyway, but they tell everybody it's better than everybody else's. The idea behind this is each oil has its own interval. People in Ahwatukee that do business with us,
uh-huh.
A lot of them drive 2,000 miles a year. We put conventional in it.
Right.
A lot of them, if you drive 10,000 miles a year, we'll put synthetic in it, then you get one oil change a year.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea to create the perception that we're going to put the most expensive oil in your car, but then we're going to drain it out at 1/3 of its expected life or mm-hmm. 1/4 of its life, and that benefits you, plus you're going to get us to look your car over to make sure it's okay. This is called an RSC. Do you know what that stands for?
Reoccurring sales opportunity.
That's exactly right. Reoccurring sales opportunity.
Oh,
he's
then it's
creating.
RSO.
He's selling synthetics. He's making a lot of money on that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's bringing you in at 5,000 miles and giving you the perception that we're going to look your car over to make sure you're okay. That gives him a reoccurring sales opportunity.
Right.
He does nothing but trick his customers into believing this false sense of security. Because number one, I'm going to put synthetic oil in your car. And number two, you bring it in on a regular basis and I'm going to be able to know what's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, none of us have a crystal ball. None of us knows what's going to happen to your car tomorrow. None of us knows what's going to happen to our own car tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, unless it's really obvious.
Right.
So now you got me all wound up. My panties are wadded up, and now we got to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, 602-508-0960. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. That Pinnacle Peak Road gets me.
Mm-hmm.
Deer Valley or Pinnacle. Anyway, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. Nate owns Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, and he knows more about diesels than I'll ever know in my whole life. He is just an extraordinary guy. Now, he'll take care of your diesel, but also take care of the rest of your family cars. But if you have a diesel and nobody's been able to fix it, then you need to go to Strictly Diesel. He's a long way away if you're coming from Chandler, but he's worth it. Nate is an honest, good guy, and I respect him, and especially in the diesel market. So, again, if you have a diesel in it, and I'm talking about foreign and domestic light-duty diesel trucks, which is up to a 1 ton, but not the big semis and the freight liners and stuff like that, then I-17 and Pinnacle Peak, just north, Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, and it's a good guy. Okay, I just got done telling everybody anyway, I got an email right now.
Okay.
It says, Mark, I'm a longtime customer that goes way back to McClintock and Guadalupe. That's mid-80s,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Okay, I think you're fired up. Alan, my son, did some work for me a long time ago. I received a simple license plate backup camera for Christmas. It's a two-wire hookup, hot to reverse lights, and a ground.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the camera's going to wake up when you go into reverse. That's a good idea.
Okay.
I have the ability to destroy the simplest of projects. He's my kind of guy.
He's honest.
He's honest. Yeah. Yeah.
His ability.
Or his wife wrote this,
yeah.
And she's putting
Send
that in for him. I need to get the installed in the next couple of days, but I can't find anybody, and I have a rule that I don't ask friends. Some bad experiences have been that. Any suggestions who can do this? I posted an ad with no response so far. It's got to be a wireless. So he's firing up the camera. The camera is going to get power from the reverse light circuit.
Okay.
That means it's going to turn on the wireless part. Remember, I guessed that the camera has batteries.
Right.
And that the front plugs into a cigarette lighter or something like that.
So you were wrong?
I was wrong. Remember the Fonzarella? I was wrong.
Fonzie. Where would you grab that wire?
Well, inside the trunk is going to be the reverse lights. And so what you're going to do is grab that, and you're probably going to bring it out underneath the trunk and up to whatever. Or they may have an adapter where you take the taillight lens off, and the reverse bulb they're going to put a new reverse, and it's going to have a circuit coming out of the back.
Okay.
There's a couple of different ways that can happen. This is really, at best, a 30-minute to install.
Well,
so
don't
I don't
say
know
that because it could be an hour or something.
Well, it depends on the wiring.
Yeah,
if somebody
go.
Wants the wiring to be protected and blah, 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 and I want to go through the back of the taillight, yeah, it's going to be a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you go through the trunk, come into the back of the taillight, you're home free.
Okay.
Anyway, so he brings up a good point. In his particular case, somebody got him for Christmas, the backup camera is plugged into the car. So it's going to be only talking to anybody when it's in reverse. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is maybe you'd like it also to be there all the time, on all the time.
Okay.
What could you do then?
I have no idea.
You could go into the taillight circuit because some, you know, that you can run with your headlights on all day long.
Okay.
No one's going to care. And you could go into the taillight circuit to liven up the camera. So then at that point, you'd be yelled. So if the person was tailgating you, you could see their license plate number if they're that close.
Not if they're from Arizona because we don't have front license plates.
Okay, Mrs. Smarty Pants. Okay. But if the camera's aimed right and they're not in your camera range, then you know they're not that close. You know, sometimes you look in the rearview mirror and you can't really judge whether they're sitting on your rear bumper or they're not.
Yes.
So, anyway, thank you very much. His name's Robert.
Okay. And he's looking for somebody to do it.
Yeah. So. And Robert, if you're listening, I'm sure Alan can do this. This isn't a real big deal. And I'm betting we've probably installed one of these before.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that we haven't, especially because our son is one of those gizmo guys that does that. I think we heard the air gun.
Okay.
Gil?
I didn't hear it.
I don't know if we did or not. Let's ask Gil.
He's on the phone.
Gil?
Oh, no. No air gun.
No air gun. Okay. Gil says no air gun. 602-508-0960 if you have a car question. 602-508-0960. And if you want to know any other personal issues about Renee and I, we're happy to share that with you.
No, we're really not.
We'll tell you what kind of whiskey Renee drinks.
Oh,
if
stop.
That's,
But, you know, they did have to replace my backup camera. Mine was a factory one, and
right.
they did replace that. And actually, I think it's even better than the factory one was. The clarity is better.
Okay. In your case, yours is the factory one, so that camera's only available at Ford.
Right.
And it was kind of expensive,
it
was also kind of expensive to get to. Because we had to go take the tailgate inside all apart
right.
to get the bolts loose to take the black thing out, mm-hmm. and then you take the camera out, and then da-da-da-da-da. So that wasn't a 30-minute deal.
Oh, no.
That was a lot longer.
Yeah.
What was the symptom on your camera?
I think it was just going dark. I
intermittent.
Mean, you couldn't see it. Yeah, or
yeah.
intermittent.
And then I think what Eddie did, you had charged Eddie with responsibility, he's our shop foreman,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that it had what it needed. And he said to me, I'm thinking she said power and ground, and I said, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And so we looked at the reverse circuit, and it had power and ground, and then we could actually kind of hit it and make it go in
That's
and out.
That's exactly right. Yes,
and
I forgot what was wrong with it.
And so, yes, we did replace the camera on your Edge. And that's another good example of a Ford breaking down. How many miles do you have on that? 20,000?
100. I did go about 3,000 over my oil change last time. I don't know what I was.
Why don't we have synthetic in that?
I was looking at my sticker.
Okay.
I don't know because that's not what I need.
And by the way, oil... On all the newer model cars for the last 10 years, the weight of oil is on the oil cap.
Okay.
Now, 020 is always a synthetic. They
right.
don't make a 020 in a conventional or a semi-synthetic. But the default is whatever it says on the oil cap of my engine is what I want you to put in.
Right.
Now, a 1030 is probably not going to be on there. But these are engines that are going to have a special oil or an expensive oil because the oil change is long. So,
besides that, I never check my oil, so I need them to do an oil change every 5,000 to 7,000 miles to check everything out. Too.
And folks, her hair is blonde too, so that it kind of explains why she's this co-owner of a garage, and she admits publicly that you never check the oil in your car.
I don't. No.
Who does?
They do when I have my oil change. That's why I prefer semi-synthetic.
Oh.
A blend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Nevertheless, there are people that we have on an oil change interval, and most shops do this, not just us, based on their miles.
Sure.
We've got, like I said before, we got people in Ahwatukee, Mountain Park Ranch area, that do 5,000 miles a year. They're in a blended oil and we change the oil before the summertime. Mm-hmm. So we ask them to come in April or May and let us let you go through the summer with fresh oil.
Right.
But then we're going to bring you back in April or May.
And even if you don't drive the minimum amount, it's better to change.
Right.
Once a year.
Yep. Yeah. And, but that's a conventional oil if they're 2,000 or 3,000 miles.
It's not that
so
bad.
We're going to tailor the oil and also the price. Mm-hmm. I mean, on a conventional oil change, it could be 40 plus or minus. Mm-hmm. And the semi-synthetic can be anywhere from 80 to 100. So there is a difference.
Well, this semi-synthetic is usually 45 to 55, somewhere in there. And then the synthetic is 75 to 85.
You know what? I gave them a range. We're not talking about our shop.
You said the wrong thing. You said you said a semi-synthetic was 75 to 85 or something like that. Okay. I'm just correcting you.
I taped the show.
Because that's what I'm here for.
I taped the show. We'll figure that out later on. 602-508-0960. If you're a marriage counselor, we can use that. 602-508-0960. Thirty-four minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, we're going to be here till 12. If you'd like to call us, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We already talked about Tom Blackwell.
Yeah, we did. He got you good.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Elmer. We'll just call him Elmer.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah.
I'll change your.
Elmer Fudd lives at Blackwell Automotive.
That's right.
And he'll tell you he's the owner, but he really isn't because Polly is. Mm-hmm. So Polly actually runs that. That is Saint Asylum. But anyway, Blackwell's at 40th Street and Greenway. I'm looking at something else.
I know.
And he's a good guy, and we've known him for 20-plus years.
Yep.
And he really knows cars. He's a little bit of a tyrant. I don't know anybody else like him. But those that are tyrants actually have a good handle on car repair.
They do.
So when a technician starts shoveling the brown stuff around, they kind of know that that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you live up in the Northeast Scottsdale area, then Tom Blackwell, Blackwell Automotive, is the place that I would typically send you. Mm-hmm. Automatic Transmission Exchange is a transmission shop. It's the only one in Phoenix that I can tell you to go to. They've been around since 1968. Phil has been there since 1968. They're on 40th Street in Washington, the north side of the road. They're not necessarily centrally located, but they're worth the drive. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't want to go in on Monday morning or Friday afternoon and ask them to test drive your car because those are busy times for all of us. But if you call them and say, I'd like to stop by at 1 o'clock and I can demonstrate the problem. Boy, that's the key words. I can demonstrate the problem. You're home free. Now, the best part about that is typically that test drive is free. But those transmission guys can say, this isn't a transmission problem. This is an engine miss. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of tell that they've been around the block.
Yes.
And they're almost always right because they have all kinds of shops and people bring a car in and they say, no, this is an engine miss. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of things, and that's the reason why Automatic Transmission Exchange, ATE, is a good place.
Yeah, we've got a list on the website. Mm-hmm. Best car repair shops in Phoenix.
And we have body shops. Mm-hmm. We have mechanical shops. We have transmission shops.
Tire shops.
Do we have tire shops?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Renee and I have settled the fight about the cost of conventional oil, blended oil, semi-synthetic, and synthetic. Go ahead and tell them. From a conventional oil point of view, give me the range.
Usually 35 to 45, somewhere in there.
Okay, that's 5 quarts. And
that's
a filter.
Right. And the filter.
Okay. A semi-synthetic or blend.
Yeah, it just depends on how many quarts.
Let's pretend
normally five quarts is $42 with tax, something like that. Let's just say 45 to 55, somewhere in there.
I agree, because we have to do a range.
Exactly.
Okay, and then full synthetic is from 65 north.
Yeah, I'd say 75.
Okay, 75
is one of
the lowest. 100.
To 100.
Again, a 5-quart system.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's also important to know that pretty much the oils are the same. We pour Chevron because a couple of reasons. We have a relationship with the vendor here in town, one that goes back to this late 70s. Mm-hmm. So Chris and I have been friends. I know he's a good guy. I know when he brings oil to me, it's what he says it is, and it's not something else. And we are such good friends that I don't think we've ever had a battle. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever had a problem. I've never complained about his drivers or his billing. He's never called me up and said, you didn't pay your bills. We've just have that kind of a relationship. So the oil is not doggone that important. The second part of this whole thing is that you might look at a Motorcraft oil door sticker, and it might be Kendall, mm-hmm. or it might be Castrol. You just don't know what it is. But as long as the owner's manual and the oil cap tells you the weight, that's what you should stick with.
So you're saying that the brand is not as important as the weight.
The weight. Yeah. The weight is very important. Mm-hmm. All of the oils have a minimum standard.
Yeah.
So the synthetics are obviously the best because they provide the widest range. But real quick, let me talk about the range.
Okay.
Conventional oil turns to a solid, like butter. Mm-hmm. I mean, or ice cream is a better thing. Mm-hmm. Conventional oil turns to ice cream at maybe 10 below zero.
Okay.
A semi-synthetic moves the 10 to about 30 below zero. And the full synthetic moves it to 50 below zero. So why would anybody in Arizona care about the low side?
Yeah, we would.
They don't.
It's more of the hot side, or the high side.
Okay. Now, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, they would care. Mm-hmm. So a synthetic would be what they'd put into their car. Okay.
Yeah.
The flip side of the coin is the hot side. Okay. The hot side is that conventional oil will turn to a tar. The technical word is oxidation.
Okay.
At about 260 to 300. Here's the bad news. Your motor's trashed before that or at that temperature. It'll
right.
never survive.
Right.
Then semi-synthetic takes you up to 350 degrees. Again, the motor's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then synthetic takes you to 500 degrees. Now, you've seen the advertisement of Mobile One in the frying pan.
Right.
And at 500 degrees, it still pours out. Who cares? The motor is smoked. So all of this marketing mm-hmm. is just BS.
Yeah.
The real thing about the three oils is the oil change interval. How long will the additive package last?
Right.
How long will the detergents and the viscosity improvers and all of the stuff that makes up a quarter, how long will that last?
Yeah, and I think sometimes we'll put the conventional oil in an older car. I wouldn't say a newer car if it's leaking oil because you don't want a bunch of it leaking out. And sometimes that helps slow down the leak because it's a little thicker.
Let me just change it. We go from a multi-grade 1030, 1040, 2050. We go to a solid 30 weight mm-hmm. or a 40 weight
yes.
because we got an oil that's dripping. So 30 weight or 40 weight. 40 weight's more like peanut butter.
Right.
It'll still provide lubrication, but it'll change your oil leak a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if the motor's old, we'll usually put 30 or 40 weight in it.
Right.
We don't care what it called for. Because we're just going to put a heavier oil to just give you a little bit more pillow kind of mentality.
Gotcha.
So that's how it goes. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be back right after this. Minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Mark Salem, my wife, sitting here next to me. We've been in business since 1979 together. She's been subordinate to me since
really? Okay.
Come on. In your defense, mm-hmm. You've handled the overwhelming majorities of calls. And you know sometimes that the men want to talk to another man?
Absolutely. Okay. At the counter, on the phone.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, women are better, but sometimes they still want to talk to a guy.
And how do you handle that?
I just usually ask them questions and get to what they're trying to ask and then go from there.
They don't, and you're unusual in the sense that together we've had 50 years of car repair?
Not quite, but 40-something. Yeah, 40.
Okay, 79 is 80, 20 plus 20. Yeah, 40. Okay, fine. You're faster at math than I am. Get your calculator out of your hand. So you're right, though. What'd you just do? You just knocked your headphone off. God almighty, what's the matter with you?
You're making me laugh.
Okay, you got to put your mic up next to your mouth. There you go.
Okay.
So you're laughing and your headphone falls off. Okay. Maybe it's the air between your ears. Anyway, okay.
Stop.
I'm just teasing. So the guys and sometimes the ladies want to talk to a man.
Yeah, they do.
Okay,
yes.
And both you and Andy have tremendous experience.
Right.
But there's lots of women, for instance, at Blackwell Automotive mm-hmm. and Harker's Automotive.
Oh, yeah.
Ellen, you talk to Ellen. Mm-hmm. And a Thompson's in Mesa, if you talk to Ryan or Thelma, Thelma knows.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to start the relationship off that way.
Yeah.
And it could be something as simple as, are you comfortable talking about the tire rotation interval?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of a nice way to And so,
well, and a lot of the shops that we recommend are independent shops. I guess all of them are, but a lot of them have a husband and wife working there, or a man and woman, or whatever. And they've been in business a long time. Yeah. Everybody has.
Okay, now, so we have three oil change intervals. Okay?
Right.
We have 3,000 plus or minus. We have 5,000, 6,000 plus or minus. And we have 10, 11, 12,000 miles.
Okay.
Okay? How do we handle oil changes that used to be every other oil change when we did it at 3,000 mile intervals?
You mean how do we do rotates?
Yeah.
Oh.
So okay. If a person runs 9,000 miles on their synthetic.
Yeah. I mean, they just have to come in and get them rotated.
For a rotation.
Yeah.
Okay. Not too long ago, there was a lady came in and she says, you know, my husband wants you to line the car. And I said, why? And she says, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know if it pulls left or right. We
sure.
need to know if it's a tire wear issue. We need to know if there's a vibration, which an alignment never fixes. Mm-hmm. So the guys will come in and tell us to to do an alignment. But then in questioning both you and Andy and Ellen and Thelma, mm-hmm. you'll find out that it's an alignment pull, or
sure.
it's something that's not really what they are. So the guys will give us their diagnosis, and you have to go drill past that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what the symptoms are. Describe what we're trying to fix, stuff like that.
Sure.
Women not only give you the symptoms, but they have the ability to say, I don't know,
sure.
or men don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too long ago, a shop owner was telling me about the guy comes in, and he says that he wants to have an alignment, and why? It's because the tires have outside wear on the front.
Mm-hmm.
So the shop checks the alignment and it's fine. So all the numbers are green. So they would be red or green. All the numbers are green. So somebody says to the customer, you know, we have the signs here of the absence of rotation. Folks, the front tires, when you turn right, the right one lays kind of on the outer corner of the tread, and when you turn left, the left one does that. So if the tires are left on the front too long, the outside edges of both front tires will be worn, obviously, not mm-hmm. not in a dangerous way, but just obviously.
You can tell, yeah.
So somebody, I think it was a lady, said to him, how often do you rotate your tires? And he goes, oh, I do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the back tires have a nice square pattern. The sidewalls to the tread is square. The front ones have this rounded edge. What do you do then?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. They haven't rotated very often and probably rotate them to the back, obviously.
And that's what we suggested.
Right.
Maybe let's get the fronts off and put them on the back. Give them a rest because the back tires just follow the front, so they don't lean left and lean right like
mm-hmm.
the fronts do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard, but we're looking, you know, you want to say, we're looking at your car. And you haven't rotated these tires in a long time.
Right.
But you're not going to pick a fight with him or the wife or whatever. You're not going to mm-hmm. do that. But that's why I've said, and you agree, that women are most likely to give you the symptoms.
Yeah.
Now,
and it's good for the person that is driving the car to bring it in if they can or get as much symptom. The other day we had Andy was at the counter and asking a gentleman, you know, questions. Well, obviously it was his wife's car or girlfriend's car. So
or both. Could be his wife or his girlfriend.
No. Stop it. I'm going to kick you in the leg. So he gets her on the phone to answer some of the questions that he couldn't answer.
Yeah.
And that's always helpful to us. It sends us in the right direction usually.
If we're talking to the right person.
Right.
Because we can get pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
We can get pretty close. We know at least is it a suspension problem, a steering problem, a transmission problem, an air conditioning problem. I went to prayer, what do they call that? Prayer something.
It's not prayer, but yeah, that's what you guys call it.
Prayer meeting.
Yeah.
That's what we call it.
Okay.
We meet at a garage. There's a whole bunch of us guys,
mm-hmm.
all hairy-chested, gray-haired guys, been around the block a couple of times, and we call it the prayer meeting.
Okay. They're not all technicians or mechanics or anything. They're just friends.
Business
yes.
people. They're
in
all business guys.
Somebody's home garage.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And we drink coffee with some kind of something in it.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but I don't like the taste.
Is that what's wrong with you on Saturdays?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
So anyway, the funny story is that Joe sends an email to everybody that says prayer meeting is at 7:30 at my house. And he says, we're going to start with the book of Revelations.
Yes.
Now, you say to me, because you read it, and you goes, the book of Revelations is at the back of the Bible, not the front of the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. So he says he's going to start with the book of Revelations.
Yes.
Are you sure about that Revelations is at the back of the Bible.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I needed to make sure because I told everybody that and they all go, you better be right. Well, I don't know that to be factual. So I threw you under the bus. Okay. I said, that's what Renee said.
That's okay.
But it was funny because we all laughed at that because, Joe, if we're going to have a prayer meeting, quote prayer meeting, and we're all going to get together and you say we're going to start at the book of Revelations, it really shouldn't be the book of Revelations.
No, it shouldn't.
We should end there.
There you go.
So during this period of time, yeah, during this period of time, we get off on this Bible tangent. And then Dave finally says, let's move on to girls or drinking or flying in airplanes or whatever.
No, you guys should stick to the Bible. That might help all of you.
Yeah, well, that ain't going to happen. But anyway, that's the prayer meeting is what where Mark goes every Saturday morning at, what is it, 7?
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we do have a lot of fun. Now, folks, I'll tell you a funny story.
Okay.
I had a problem with Wells Fargo Bank. I couldn't get anything to happen here in town. They bounced a check. I'm the trustee of a trust, and we had just sold a condominium. And so they sent us a check, and then before we deposited it, it was already stopped. So we couldn't find anybody. And everybody elevated us. Send you to the next level. Nobody could get. It was a simple question. Why? So I called a lady named Linda. I'm not going to give her last name, who's a big shot for them in Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, can you help me? She says, yes, I can. So the next thing, I'm put in touch with a guy named Grant. I'm not going to give his last name. And he's in Des Moines, Iowa. And I say to him, you know, how are you going to be any different? He says, well, I work for the CEO. And I said, okay. So I said, this is a simple question. And he pulls it up on the screen. He already knows that I've been to 17, 20 people.
In 2 months later, it was just...
Yeah.
Okay. This one. Now you're getting my panties in a wad.
Yeah. Oh, forget it. I'm telling this story. So I said, Grant, all I want you to do is tell me why.
Right.
He says, I can call you back in less than 8 hours. And I said, that'd be fine. So he calls me back in 4. And he goes, Mark, that refund on the transfer of the ownership of the condominium of the deceased people that you're representing should have gone to the buyer, not to the seller. So you are the seller, and they were the buyer. So we stopped payment when we recognized our mistake, and we issued a check to the buyer. And I said, you know, Grant, that makes all the sense in the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, I am forever indebted to you, and I'm going to write your name on every bathroom wall that if you have a problem with Wells Fargo, call Grant. So I get this brilliant idea that I'm going to send him something that would mean a lot to him. So I get on the internet and I buy a fireman's hat that's plastic and that costs nothing. And then I find a magic wand, and this magic wand is about 14 inches long. There's a little button. You push the button and it goes ta-ring, just like a magic wand on TV, and it has a purple light at the end. So I buy that and I put it in a box and I'm going to send it to him. And the message is simple. You're the fireman. People come in and poop on your desk, and they expect you to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So with your magic wand and your fireman's hat. So I put a note on the outside because I'm thinking, this got batteries in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they got security. So I write on it, this is my name. Here's my phone number. And this goes to Grant Baird. And what's inside is a fireman's hat and a magic wand.
There's going to be. You said his last name, but okay.
Did I?
Go ahead.
Okay, they didn't know that. And so I said, there's 3 little hearing aid batteries in the magic wand. And I said, so here's my cell phone number. Call me if you have anything. So the security people take it to his office,
mm-hmm.
and they put it on his office, and there's a bunch of them. They go, this is for you. So he looks at it, and they want him to open it up for whatever reason. So he opens it up, and it's fire. He puts the fireman hat, and then he turns, and he pulls a little piece of plastic out, and he waves his magic wand. He says, everything's okay. So I wait for a while, and nothing happens for 3 or 4 or 5 days. So I finally call him. I said, if I got you in trouble, I'm sorry. If security got your thing and called the fire department and the bomb squad, I'm sorry. He says, no, on the contrary. He says, security brought it up and I opened it up and everybody was in hysterics. He says, everybody in this entire building has been to my office to see my fireman's hat and my magic wand.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, you know, I've bought hundreds of those magic wands. And I took one to prayer this morning.
Yeah.
And I walked over and I pulled my magic wand out and I waved it over Joe's head.
Mm-hmm.
Ba-ring! And I says, now you have a brain. And everybody went crazy.
So then I
walked around to each one of them, and I can't tell you some of the things I said to the rest of them.
I'm sure. I don't want to know.
I get in trouble if I
yes.
don't. But they thought it was hysterical. So, and then Tom, who was going to give a presentation to like 100 people mm-hmm. that were firemen of this particular parts company that put out fires and took care of customers, I gave him the link to, I think he bought 100 of them to give to every one of these firemen. It's a magic wand. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I've had, as you well know, I've had so much fun with those magic.
Way too much fun.
I have. I have.
Magic wand.
I've been giving them away. I have them in my truck. I've been giving away to people that are firemen, people that are responsible for putting out other people's fires, for handling other people's problems.
Where is that magic wand? Maybe I can use it on you.
You're not allowed to touch one. And you're never going to see my magic wand, I'm telling you. And it's not in my truck either. I've hidden it.
Oh.
But anyway.
I bet you gave it to somebody today.
I did. I gave it to, I gave it to Joe Del Rey.
Oh, okay.
I gave it to Joe. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. Grant was fine with it. Mm-hmm. He said, and then he said to me something that just broke my heart. He said, I've been here 10 years. And this is the nicest anybody's done for me in 10 years.
Wow.
And you, what do you say to that?
Yeah.
You know?
That's pretty amazing.
You say, well, those guys are a bunch of stupid idiots. And you don't say that, but I felt honored for him to say, this is the nicest thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to send him another fireman's hat for his wife. Magic
crazy.
Wand. But aside from that, if you want the link for Amazon for the fireman's hat and the magic wand, mark at marksalem.com. I'll send you the link. I've never had so much fun with anything other than that magic wand.
I know.
You can imagine how much fun I've had. No matter where I go, I keep that. And then I waved it over Dave's head, and I said, now you have a brain.
Joe's.
No.
Oh, you gave one to
Dave? No, I didn't give
to
one.
To Dave, too?
No.
No, I meant a brain to Dave, too.
Yes, I gave a brain to Dave.
Okay.
Anyway, mark at marksalem.com. Mark at marksalem.com. If you have a car question, you can ask it. Symptoms is what I'm interested in, and if you'll leave me a phone number, I typically call you back, because I'm going to have more questions, and I don't really have the time to have this 20-email exchange. So, and I'm going to call you from a blocked number, and if you don't answer, which a lot of people don't, I'm going to leave a message and says, hey, this is Mark Salem. I'm calling you. Unfortunately, I'm in a blocked number, so I'll call you back in 15 or 20 or 30 minutes, and I'm going to do my best to do that. The guy said the other day you didn't call back in 30 minutes, and I said, I'm sorry, I just got tied up. So anyway, yes, I answer calls, but if it's an easy question and you want me to settle and you give me an A and a B option, I'll jump on the A and B option. So if you and your wife are arguing and one of you says A and one of you says B, whoever pays me the most, I'll side with them. All righty, mark at marksalem.com. Thank you for spending your Saturday with me.